Morning, Honorable Minister. Today we're going to receive a presentation from the Department of Energy. So I will just make some preliminary remarks with regard to that presentation after the Secretary has given us apologies. So, Secretary, please give us apologies so that we can then go to have a preliminary discussion on the presentation and the background to today's presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. So, the following apologies, Honourable Van Dalen, who's attending court proceedings today, Mr. Pluama, unable to attend due to prior commitments. And then we've also received an apology this morning from Mr. Mackay, whose flight was delayed, but he will be joining us. He's landed just now, so he will be joining us. And then also an apology from the Deputy Minister of Energy, who is on leave till the 21st of October. Those are the apologies, Chair.
Honourable Van Dalen. Honourable Kuama, Deputy Minister, and Honourable Mackay, who's running late. Okay. Can we note the apologies and then go to the next item of the presentation? Just to say this before we start, at our last meeting before the from the Department of Energy on the 11th of October. At that meeting, honorable members would remember that there was also a request that we receive some information from the Department of Energy in the form of documents that relate to the bill program. I had committed in the meeting, that we will indeed write to the department to request this information. Honorable members would remember that one of the members did at that meeting bring to our attention a legal opinion regarding the documents be made available to committees of parliament, and that this legal opinion was with regard to matters in the portfolio committee of trade and industry. We didn't have a look at this legal opinion, but I did indicate that the legal opinion sounds to be broadly in line with what is stated in our constitution, so there shouldn't be a problem with what the legal opinion states with regard to making all relevant information available to Parliament. Subsequent to that, I did write to the Department of Energy to request the documents. A list of documents. That some of which were referred to in the meeting. Some of the documents honorable members had indicated that they had asked for before. So we did put together the list, and I must state up front that given the context of that legal opinion and the nature of the request we put into the Department of Energy, we did speak to the Parliamentary Legal Support Services with regard to the request we are making to the Department of Energy, and that agreed with us on the course of action that we are taking. We have subsequently received the documents, all the documents that were listed in the letter to the Department of Energy. And the documents, honorable members would see that in the presentation that was sent to us, there's a list of those documents and a summary of what they contain, which the department will go through. What I want to deal with from the side of the chair is the availability of the actual documents that were requested. On your behalf, I did receive the documents. In the letter that we sent to the Department of Energy, we did state, as we discussed in our previous meeting, that we'll want to understand what is the status of all of the documents that they are going to be given to us. Because as far as we are concerned, as Parliament, we should have access to all of the documents and all of the information that's available. But that how that the documents are going to be dealt with by the committee, we still have to make a decision when we are in receipt of the documents and have determined what their status are. So we, because of the recess, we have not been able to finish our process. We are in consultation. We've been in consultation with the legal support service again to discuss the issue of what do we do with the documents. But what I can tell the honourable members is all the documents requested we do have now in our possession. So we will have the intention was that on the 11th of October, we will receive both the presentation on progress from the Department of Energy, including the actual documents. So I want to state upfront that the reason they are not here is not because the department has not sent to them. They have. It is because from my side, we haven't finished going through the documents to determine if ever there are documents that may have to be considered in a closed meeting of the committee. So we're going through that process. We're going to circulate all the documents to the honorable members. So that's my explanation why the documents are not here. And these are not friendly documents. Two boxes full of documents were handed over to me, so I've been, So we will decide what you do with that later on. So I would just want to ask to dispense of that, but later the department will make a presentation on those documents, and then we can decide how we're going to process that as a committee in the future. So let me clear that, because I don't want us now having questions arising about the availability of the documents. We do have in our possession. The next part, which the department on our minister should explain now, is that the honourable members on Sunday or thereabouts received the presentation. Saturday. Thank you, Senate. On Saturday. I was informed yesterday that the department was making changes to the document because there's some background information that they needed to add in the presentation. So they had asked me whether they can table a revised document this morning. So I want them to talk to that, but I did state to them that we can have a revised document insofar as it enhances the contents of the earlier document, but we had already circulated the first draft, so the information that is in the first draft is already before the committee. So if members want to ask questions with regard to information that is in the previous document, they'll be at liberty to do so. But I'm told that they have a document with additional information, so they'll have to explain that. I have given them permission that they can present the revised document this morning, but they just have to explain to the honourable members what's the difference between the two before they present. So you'll have what was sent to you on Saturday and what they will be presenting the revised document this morning. Honourable Minister, I think the DG can explain all that. So before we start, I want to give you the opportunity to make your remarks.
Chair.
Honourable Dlamini.
No, Chair, I just want to check something quickly before we start with the presentation from the Minister and the Department. That are they intending to go ahead with this program given the chaos that we have in the country with lack of student funding? Because my thinking is that I was hoping that the Minister can come and say, you know, we're going to take this 1 million and give it to students. We can postpone this matter for maybe 5 years and we can continue. The Minister was thinking along those lines. Is he intending to go ahead with this program? Maybe we can just finish this meeting in 5 minutes. Thanks, Minister.
Okay. I think Honourable Dlamini, that was in the way of starting the meeting on a positive note.
So thanks for that. Minister, please
go ahead and give us the opening remarks with regard to the presentation.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, the Director General, the members of the department, members of the media, members of the public, all stakeholders, good morning to you. Goeiemôre. Ek hoop dit gaan goed vandag. Chairperson, we are very pleased to confirm the following progress with respect to the project development activities. The following phase of the program would be to establish key national positions and strategies. So I agree with the Honourable Member from the EFF that the next phase needs to be one which is a phase of unifying our country and respecting the mandate of our country, not a particular political party, but also ensuring that we ascribe to the prescripts of our constitution. We are at a phase where I am listening to all voices. I will listen to all views. I will ensure that the process is above board, that the pace, scale, and price of the program is within the accessible range of our country. We will ensure with the collective, especially with the committee, that the process is not only transparent and above board, but that it is free of corruption, that it has the necessary securance, clearance, verification, but also that we protect our sovereignty, we protect our nation, and we protect the integrity of the program against any inadvertent risks. Chairperson, the next phase will be the Department of Energy working with ESCOM and all other government stakeholders and country stakeholders to manage the process as we go towards fulfilling our necessary constitutional and legal obligations. As the program moves forward, we wish that the committee should play a key role in clearly managing its oversight function, including that the prescripts of the law, PFMA, the prescripts of any procurement processes are guarded. We believe that with the necessary legislative and regulatory frameworks in line with international best practice, the essential element which has been missing in the program has been communication or lack thereof, and the missing link has also been greater consultation and participation of communities. This has been clearly so as I approached the October month and as I approached the preferred date for the publication of the request for proposal. I considered all the presentations I had, civil society groups, political parties who made presentations to me, and I then decided not to publish the request for proposal. We have had a serious range of consultations with other government departments, the cabinet, ESCOM in particular. We've been working quite closely with ESCOM because of their experience with key nuclear operations, their experience with the megabolt program, and their management expertise, which they've now developed over the years, be it through trial and error. Through the experience of Kuburg, Kusile, Medupi, Ingula, has placed them in a key and critical role to participate in the nuclear renewable program. Now, I wish to categorically state that there's no basket of money in Treasury that will be used for this program. Just as there was no basket of money that was used from the country to build Medupi, Kusile and other huge power plants. We'll explain later in the presentation how the balance sheet of Eskom will be used to leverage access to funding. The DG will introduce the team as well as the different role players from Nexa, the nuclear, national nuclear regulator, and Eskom. The team from the nuclear unit of the Department of Energy is also here. We request that the establishment and the management, which involves large contracts of a considerable price, has a very high degree of control, but also a high degree of optimization. So that control is not through limiting access to information, but providing the information as it is approved. And I wish to acknowledge that there are certain documents which I have to take through cabinet before I can make them public documents, because they're not my personal or individual views. So likewise, the IRP and IEP were supposed to go to cabinet committee tomorrow, but the cabinet committee requested a postponement. So I haven't requested a postponement, cabinet committee has requested a postponement. So I am not in control of when I can release documents. As I consult, it means I seek the necessary consensus before certain documents are published. So the IEP and the IRP have gone through extensive consultation. We have a ministerial advisory committee on energy, which includes Dr. Anton Everard and other experts. Now, when we do that level of consultation, we do not have the wider public. There's no way we can include the public in the first level of consultation. But once cabinet has approved the documents, it then is published for the broader public for consultation. And that's the next phase, is to go out on public consultation. The Treasury will be doing its corporate finance enhancement and coordination. And Eskom subscribes to the prescripts of international law and national best practice. I do believe that on the nuclear new build program, Eskom has the experience and has operated a world-class nuclear power plant in Africa. The only power plant in Africa which is operated by South Africans for South Africans, in conjunction with other governments and other countries. So I think if Eskom has successfully run a nuclear power plant for 30 years without any hiccups, then South Africans should not ignore the skills and capabilities and expertise which exists in the country. So this program is not going to be funded by the fiscus. It's going to be funded off the balance sheet of our entities, as we provided that kind of balance sheet for renewable energy. If you add up the costs and price of the renewable energy of solar and wind, it would cost us over R1 trillion to implement renewable energy over the next 20 years. So it's equally expensive. The initial cost of renewable energy was extremely expensive, but the price has considerably been decreased, and the Renewable Energy Program, Independent Power Producers Program, is a success story. It's a world-class success story. And we too I think we're too modest to claim the success of the Renewable Energy Independent Power Producer Program. Whereas we are complemented globally as having one of the best public-private sector participation programs on renewable energy. Now the procurement of that renewable energy has been based on the 2010 IRP. All the new determinations I have made for renewable energy, all the new determinations, have been based on the 2010 IRP. The determination I made for gas has also been based on the 2010 IRP. There's been no new IRP which allowed us to procure gas or procure renewable energy. There was no IRP. It was the IRP 2010. There was no new IRP. So the procurement of more than 5,000 megawatts of renewable energy comes from the 2010 IRP. I wish to conclude, Honorable Chair, and allow the Department to do its presentation, that this is not a program for individuals. This is a program which will impact on our nation, the future of our country, and the future of the next generation. So my priority be to listen to the youth. We cannot trade off. There is no money for us to use from nuclear. There is no money. If we had the money, we could have made trade-offs. But the money would be found off the global markets, as we have funded Kusile and Medupi. Eskom will deliberate and really give us a better idea on how they fund projects. But to the youth, this is your future. We cannot hand over a future which does not have a good and clear carbon footprint, which protects our environment for the next 100 years. We are committed to clean energy, to a clean energy mix, which reduces our reliance on coal. But we do need baseload energy. Chair, the technical parts I am not responsible for, but I have a strong oversight function. And that oversight function is one which I implore the committee to exercise. Through you, Chairperson, if I may be allowed to offer the opportunity to the Director General to introduce most of the team, but also to do the introduction for the technical side of the presentation. I thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Honorable Minister. Thanks for those remarks. I think there's an important issue there that we've been talking about, at least from the side of the committee at Parliament, the integrity of the process. I think it's going to be an important principle for us. And I just want to say that to fellow South Africans, in the last meeting and in previous meetings, including when we did our report on the review of the budget, we did commit ourselves to the extent we can, at least on the side of Parliament, to ensure that we can have a wide-ranging conversation on this matter. And now that the Minister has indicated that the process is gaining momentum, we've got to return to a discussion, a deeper discussion on this matter. So we will do that in the coming weeks. And in this regard, I just want to mention that we've been receiving a lot of requests from different stakeholders and asking questions with regard to this process. And for the purposes of this meeting, I just put it on the record that we received, amongst some of these requests, a letter from the bishops of the Anglican Church of Southern Africa asking that we circulate their views to members of the committee on this bill program, something which we will do as part of this conversation. So at some point, I'm sure we'll have more and more members of the public from different sectors to come here to have a discussion on this matter. Can you do what the minister said you should do? Perhaps just start with the introduction of the members of the team, especially those who are going to be making presentations.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee on Energy. Honorable Minister, thanks for the high-level analysis on the progress. The committee has invited us to come and reflect on the nuclear new bill program, including some background, as well as the sequence of events and the way forward to date, Honorable Chair. And we have been submitting different documents, as you have alluded to, and as we have also indicated that our content has been reviewed to provide some enhancement to it and also to reflect on some detail that we thought it was prudent for the members of this committee to be put on speed into it, but also, as we have indicated, so as the Honorable Minister, to reflect on the transparency that this program has been undertaken to deliver on it. We have then, with your permission, Honorable Chair, and invited our strategic partners as a department, particularly with developments that have been occurring in the continuous analyzing of our responsibility to be part of this meeting today. We would like to introduce that amongst the technical team that is present here, we have ESCOM, which is represented by Mr. Koko, together with Dave Nichols, and during the presentation as well, we expect that there might be some input that ESCOM would like to reflect on, as also the Minister has highlighted some various aspects of the role and function of ESCOM in this regard. We also have the CEOs who are present here, who are part of the overall strategic focus of the nuclear bill program. And it's not only that they are here today and have not been part, but historically, as we'll be providing this background, you'll also notice the role that has been played by the entities that are responsible as tasked by the cabinet and the government at large, as well as the minister, to perform certain duties. We have NNR, which is led by the CEO, Dr. Bismarck Jobega, together with his executive team. We also have Nexa, CEO, which is led by Mr. Pumzile. And also we have our NRAD, which is one of the most strategic entity that we've been putting in place to deal with certain aspects of our nuclear program. And as you would know that our Dr. Barnard has since been designated by the Honorable Minister to be the CEO in NRAD. So these are some of the strategic stakeholders that form part of the broader strategic team that has been working with the department in ensuring that this process is managed accordingly. All that we intend to do for your presentation, Chairperson, is to then reflect, if you can give me the next slide, is to reflect on what we have requested us to do, to provide some background, in particular the historical background, and also to then say where we are. So where we are at the moment, Chair, we would like to appraise the portfolio committee, and I'm quite happy that my Honourable Minister has already highlighted some of the very key strategic issues that are putting the committee into speed in understanding where we have been, where we are, and where are we exactly going. One of the key things that we would like to clarify, which is something that we know is a very important issue, as the Minister has alluded to, is the important role that Eskom has to play as a procurer for the nuclear power plants, for the nuclear new build program as a whole. And I must indicate that these are the recommendations that the Department is testing with other structures of government, in particular the Cabinet, but having done the necessary legal homework with different legal opinions in place, we have come into the position at the moment of suggesting that without any doubt that Eskom has a very important role to play as a procurer. And as we deal with the detail of the presentation, the committee members will begin to understand how we have arrived at that particular recommendation, which we will be putting to the Cabinet for consideration. As I've also introduced South African Nuclear Energy Corporation, NECSA, in our analysis, together with our Honourable Minister and many other relevant stakeholders and also our legal teams we have been working with, we came into the conclusion that it's going to be critical that for the procurer of fuel cycle and multipurpose reactor, this is the particular entity that this task must be given to. Again, Chair and members, I will emphasize that all these recommendations are presented to you with an aim of ensuring that the Cabinet can consider them for approval. So we have not arrived at that stage, but as the update is critical, we felt it wise to bring this into your attention. The Department will continue with its responsibility of coordinating all the work for nuclear build program. There are many issues that the Department must make sure that are within the policy context and strategy of this program at large, and continuously provide that guide through coordinating various components and elements which are of policy nature for this program. And it's in that context that the Department will then continue to play that role as effectively as possible in ensuring that guide is provided through the leadership of the Minister and the President and the Cabinet at large. So the outline of our presentation then, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, will be to give a full background to the program starting from 1985. There are many elements that have been in this program. We may have not covered some of them. When we are revising our presentation, we try to make it much more focused on key issues that we think are of importance nature. But some information has been attached as well for our Honourable Members to make reference to should the need arise. It's also to reflect on a very important point that my Honourable Minister has referred to, the procurement preparation, the process that the DOE has been involved with in ensuring that we have a proper procured strategy for this program, and the consultative process that DOE and other stakeholders that have made reference to earlier on have been involved to date with this program. In particular, the legal compliance issues that in the process we have to deal with. It's quite a very sensitive program. It's a global program. It's a program that requires certain compliance issues not to be compromised in the process. So we will reflect on our procurement preparation approach and the procurement strategy that to date we have adopted moving forward. We'll also touch base on our execution strategy and the timelines that are of indicative nature that we have agreed to, and then reflect on progress to date, and also to then talk much more deeper about the owner operational transitional arrangements that we have since arrived at as part of recommendations. Obviously, a lot has been said about Eskom and the state of readiness to include the nuclear plant program. We will also reflect on the state of readiness by Eskom to give a sense of comfort to Honourable Members. And then we'll touch again on the recommendations that the Honourable Minister would like to
to put into the cabinet for consideration taking this process forward. So in essence, Honorable Chairperson, that's the outline of the content of the presentation that we are bringing to you, and I'm expecting some comments to come from various colleagues that are with us here as stakeholders, but we'll start with our nuclear branch to give you just a background. I'm sorry that it might be too detailed, Chair, but I will appreciate if the members can bear with us, because we felt this is an opportunity we should take advantage of to give all full information and background to it. With your permission, Honorable Chair, Honorable Minister and members, I will invite the nuclear program coordinator in the department, Mr. Mbambo, our DDG, to lead on the background of South African nuclear program. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Chairperson.
I thought it was Honorable Mr. Mbambo saying Chairperson. Sorry.
I must call you.
We have your attention.
Okay, just the issue of process. I just want to get clarity, because on the minister's opening remarks, there's some interesting things she mentioned. I just want to check that, are we going to be able to ask her questions later, or can we deal with that before, or if she's going to be here until we finish, then we can be able to talk to the to her opening remarks, or just one clarity on that one, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll be here. Until you finish. Always, thank you. No, I'm committed to being here today. I'll be here for all questions for as long as you wish to have me here.
Happy. Okay, thanks, Honorable Lamin. Mr. Mbambo.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and the Honorable Minister. Honorable members of the committee, the Director General, and the colleagues, and the members of the public. As the Director General has indicated, I will take you through a sequence of events, of decisions that have been made in the nuclear build program, so that the committee can have an appreciation of the decisions that have been made for the program, and also the way forward of what the government decisions are going to be coming through to shape the program. I think what is important in this chronological order is to clarify to the committee that South Africa is the only country in Africa that's got a nuclear power plant. We've got Quebec nuclear power plants, which generate about 5% of our electricity, and it's situated in the northern, in the Western Cape. It's a plant that's got two units with a capacity of 1.8 gigawatts. The first unit was commissioned in 1984, with a second unit coming online in 1985. Then the key events that also pursued is that in 1995, as continuing with the implementation of the nuclear power program, is that South Africa signed a cooperation agreement on peaceful uses of nuclear energy with the United States of America. That was an important cooperation agreement which created a framework for cooperation between South Africa and the U.S. in terms of dealing with nuclear. And also in 1998, a key milestone of the program was that the cabinet approved the white paper on energy. The white paper was a very important document for the country, in the sense that it provided a framework within which the new government intended to execute the energy mix and also look into the state of industry and also map the way forward on how various energy sources will be rolled out. And in respect of nuclear, the policy recognized that nuclear will be an option that will be investigated through the integrated resource plan as part of the energy mix. than in 1999. Key milestones were the following: was that there was a promulgation of the Nuclear Energy Act 46 of 1999, which is an important element of the program, because this particular act established the South African Nuclear Energy Corporation, which we call NECSA, as the government entity that will be responsible for the research and development on nuclear matters, as well as take the leadership in respect of the front end of the nuclear fuel cycle. In addition, the National Nuclear Regulator, which we call NNR, was established through the promulgation of the National Nuclear Regulatory Act 47 of 1999. It is an important organ of state, the National Nuclear Regulator, because it is a safety authority whose mandate is provide for the protection of people against ionizing radiation, as well as ensuring that there is an implementation of the program and provide oversight to our operator. Another key milestone in the program was that in 2004, South Africa signed a cooperation agreement on peaceful uses of nuclear energy between South Africa and the Russian Federation. This was an important cooperation agreement because it then allow a framework for working between South Africa and the Russian Federation. It also provided a framework for cooperation when Quebec procured its uranium product from the Russian Federation as part of the framework. And it's important to highlight that nuclear requires that there be a cooperation at a country-to-country level so that activities on the commercial level can take place between entities in the country. Another important milestone in 2005 was that Cabinet approved the radioactive waste management policy and strategy. And this was a very important policy because it made the direction of how the country intended to manage the back end of the nuclear fuel cycle. There's always been a concern as to how the country intended to manage the radioactive waste. So government approved a policy which then created a framework of how decisions will be made and how the waste will be managed. The key milestone also then that took place was in 2006. In 2006, honorable members, it's important to highlight that the Eskom, as our utility, undertook a process of starting a procurement of the nuclear new build program as part of the government strategy to mitigate the carbon footprint. That process was a very successful process, I must say. Eskom started the environmental impact assessment. Eskom also started the siting work in order to receive specific permits that are required to site a nuclear power plant, and as well as to the point of identifying prospective bidders in the process. However, in 2008, because of a global financial meltdown, the Eskom board took a prudent decision not to continue to make an investment in the procurement of the nuclear power plant during that time, to make sure that we could stabilize the Eskom's finances at the time. Then in 2009, a very key important milestone was that the Eskom work that was done was then put back to the government to take the lead. It is important to also highlight that at that particular time, the government has approved the nuclear energy policy. That policy set out a framework, and it is an embodiment of the government vision of how government intends to expand the nuclear new build, to create industry, to create jobs, to stimulate the economy, and also to participate into the entire nuclear fuel cycle to make sure that as a country we can become self-sufficient in the use of nuclear technology. And it was, and indeed, a very consultative process which then made sure that there is a buy-in and there is public acceptance of this policy. And also then the bidding process of Eskom, as we've indicated, stopped in 2008, and that allows an opportunity for the country to take the lessons learned of the successful bidding process that had been undertaken by Eskom. And that work was then moved to government to take forward, because the policy was then promulgated. Then in 2009, a key milestone was that the interdepartmental task team was established under the Interministerial Committee on Energy to decide on the nuclear program way forward. In 2010, a key milestone of the program was that in order to continue with the program also, South Africa signed a cooperation agreement on peaceful uses of nuclear energy with South Korea. At that particular time, the Interministerial Committee on Energy gave a go-ahead on the integrated infrastructure review self-assessment. It was very important for the country to do this self-assessment because we had taken lessons learned from the ESCOM's program, and we were going also to expand the nuclear program, and we needed to assure ourselves as a country as to the adequacy and the readiness of our nuclear infrastructure to accommodate a much more expanded nuclear program, and this was then undertaken. And in 2011, an integrated resource plan was then promulgated, which is the country's 20-year electricity plan that provides an energy mix comprising of coal, gas, hydro, nuclear, renewables, and other energy sources to ensure that the government can implement an integrated solution to solve the country's energy challenges. And among these energy sources, nuclear was allocated that it will contribute 9.6 gigawatts, and it will be rolled out by year 2030. And the key decision also that was then made was that Cabinet approved the establishment of the National Nuclear Executive Coordination Committee, because nuclear by its very nature requires an oversight at an executive level, and therefore this committee was then to provide a leadership, monitor the implementation of the policy on nuclear energy. And that comprises of the ministries as well as led by His Excellency the Deputy President. Then in 2012, the National Development Plan was then approved by Cabinet, and it is a national plan that provides the roadmap around which all government policies, all government development endeavors are geared towards achieving the growth trajectory that's been provided in the National Development Plan. And then one of the key observations of the policy or requirement was that the government will need to undertake detailed investigation on a number of nuclear program aspects, such as cost of the nuclear program, such as the financing, the institutional arrangement, the safety, the environmental issues, the localization and industrialization, the skills development. And therefore, that national development policy set out a tone for government to undertake a specific investigation to address the issue, so that when a procurement decision is made, it is made after having done that thorough investigation. And what was then also critical is that when you implement a program of this magnitude, it's a 100 years more program, and you need to have a framework for decision making. And in that regard, government approved that the phased decision making approach will be the method that will be used for taking decision. Why was this important? Government took a prudent decision to realize that The program is massive, and in order to take decision, you need to take decision on a phased manner, taking smaller decisions, assessing the risk in terms of the cost, in terms of the schedule, so that when you implement the next phase of the program, you've assessed that and you can move forward. And this is how the program has been implemented since this phased decision approach was promulgated. And also, then, Cabinet also endorsed that Eskom will be the owner and the operator of the nuclear power plants in South Africa, as per the nuclear energy policy of 2008. It is important that we emphasize this to the committee because Eskom, as we've already indicated, is the only organization in South Africa that's got the nuclear experience of operating the nuclear power plant. Eskom has successfully operated the Kubet nuclear power plant for more than 30 years, and it's one of the efficiently run power stations in the country within the Eskom fleet. Then in 2013, the Integrated Nuclear Infrastructure Review mission was then completed, which then gave the country the recommendations of the IAEA as to the state of readiness of the country to go forward and implement the program. One of the key decisions also was that then the Department of Energy was then designated by the National Nuclear Executive Committee as the procuring agent for the program. In addition, study tours were undertaken by the leadership of the program to different prospective nuclear vendor countries, among which includes China, South Korea, Russia, the United States of America, South Korea, and Japan. Then in 2014, in order to make sure that when we implement the nuclear build program, we've assessed the state of readiness of our emergency preparedness infrastructure, we commissioned the EPREF mission, which was undertaken by the International Atomic Energy Agency. That was completed in February, and we received a report. A report came up with recommendations, and these recommendations were then made into an action plan for the country, which is currently being implemented by the different stakeholders in the country to make sure that when a procurement decision is made, all the requirements of our infrastructure have been addressed. Then the key matter also then was that the National Radioactive Waste Disposal Institute was launched, the board was inaugurated so that it takes up its mandate. The Director General has already spoken about this institute will be responsible for the management of the radioactive waste management on a national basis. To operationalize this institution, Cabinet recently appointed the CEO, which is Dr. Barnard, as the Director General, as indicated. And the CEO has started the process of appointing the executive to operationalize this very key institution for the program. And in June 2014, the National Nuclear Executive Coordination Committee was then reconfigured into the Energy Security Cabinet Subcommittee with a mandate to provide oversight on the entire energy mix. The nuclear energy was then pronounced during His Excellency's State of the Nation's address that nuclear will become central in our energy mix, and it will constitute more than 9 gigawatts as part of our energy mix. In addition, we then, as a country, signed intergovernmental agreements with various prospective vendor countries to create the framework for cooperation with these countries on nuclear program. And indeed, then, to ensure that the country becomes an intelligent customer, we invited the prospective countries to present their the different companies in terms of their capabilities as to how they plan to implement the program if they were to be selected through a procurement process. And this was a very important market analysis exercise which allows the department to gather information in terms of knowing what is the capability existing. And this process was then completed in March 2014. I won't bore you with the details. We've briefed the committee on the various issues that were looked into in terms of the vendor parade. But suffice to indicate that the vendor parade involves the seven prospective nuclear vendor countries: China, the USA, Russia, France, Japan, South Korea, and Canada. Then, one of the key important decisions that was made during that year in 2015 was that Cabinet endorsed the South African Nuclear Energy Corporation, NERCSA, as the implementing agent for the nuclear program, as well as the Department of Energy as the procuring agent. It's important to highlight that that decision was already taken in 2013. It was then endorsed by Cabinet in 2015. And to also then continue with the process, the intergovernmental agreement were then tabled in Parliament. They were also engaged by the committee during 2015. Then one of the key milestones was that then the Cabinet approved that the department must issue the request for proposal for the program and also then conclude the funding model as part of the request for proposal process. And also then, in terms of the Section 34, this was then gazetted in December 2015. Next slide. With regards to the update on the procurement process, it is important that we can update the committee on the preparation that has taken place. After the Cabinet has approved that the department should issue the procurement, the request for proposal, the department appointed the transactional advisors so that they can undertake the following task. The task was to review the procurement strategy, to review the procurement pre-procurement activities, to review the request for proposals or the bid specifications that have been developed by the South African technical team comprising of the key stakeholders, ESCOM, the Department of Energy, NERCSA, the NRADI, the PTI, and other key stakeholders. In this respect, then the transactional advisor completed the following work. The transactional advisors completed the part one of the request for proposal. A draft already exists and it has been consulted with the key stakeholders I've already alluded to. The transactional advisors also then completed the revised procurement strategy. It completed the economic development policy, a specific economic development policy for the nuclear new build program needed to be developed so that it can have a specific context and a specific requirements that would be necessary for implementing the program. Then also, these are the key stakeholders that I've already mentioned that have been involved in quite an intensive interaction with the transactional advisors in the development of all this work. Next slide. What we are indicating here for the committee, we are indicating preliminary procurement process. It's important for the committee to get an appreciation of the thinking currently, what we're thinking and how this will evolve. But the committee should also take note that this is a process that is still evolving. There's work in progress in here. But the procurement process is envisaged at this stage is that it will be a three-phase or three-stage process. Stage A will comprise of the procurement of two units of nuclear power plants with the fabrication commitment. then the balance of the 9.6 gigawatt will also be then form part of the implementation framework, which will then be agreed with a successful prospective bidder. And also, as part of that program, the multipurpose research reactor will form part of the procurement package for stage one. The multipurpose research reactor is very critical. It's led by NEXA, and as the committee is aware that NEXA already have the Safari research reactor. So it will be a replacement of the existing reactor with a new, much more versatile as well as very multifaceted research reactor. That will be led by NEXA. NEXA is the procurer of the multipurpose reactor. Whilst the nuclear power plants, as we've already indicated in the slide, the ESCOM will be the procurer of the nuclear power plant of the program. Then there will be stage B, which will then be looking into the front end of the nuclear fuel cycle. It's important to have this well clarified that as a country, our policy enjoins us that we need to become self-sufficient. So we look at ourselves as being able to execute all the aspects of the nuclear program, starting from the mining, right from the processing of the fuel, as well as generation of electricity, as well as managing of the waste as a back end of the nuclear fuel cycle. So it's quite a comprehensive program that the government will execute. So the front end will then be undertaken by NEXA as a procurer, as the entity that's been designated by government to undertake that. Then stage C is a very important part. That's the part of managing the radioactive waste. And that part will then be executed by the National Radioactive Waste Disposal Institute, the NRADI. And that's the back end of the nuclear fuel cycle. So this is how the procurement process is being envisioned at this stage. It's a staggered approach. And this, in essence, ties in very specifically with the phased decision-making approach, wherein government decided to approve this mechanism to mitigate the risks when government is taking decisions on the rollout of the program for the benefit of South Africa. Next slide. These are also preliminary procurement processes. I won't bore you much with the details. Suffice to say, this deals with the part one of the RFP for the program, and then it moves to the phase one is for qualifying the prospective bidders, and then phase two of the RFP or part two is then to be sent to the pre-qualified prospective bidders. In there, the approach is that it will be a two-stage approach, and the final decision will then be a preferred bidder as well as a reserve bidder. This is a common practice in all the capital projects, wherein you are trying to mitigate a risk in terms of when the preferred bidder is not performing, then you have an option to look into the reserve bidder. And that is a prudent way of mitigating the risk and also add value into the process. And then it will continue, there will be negotiations, there will be contracting, and after contracting has been done, then a preferred bidder will then be appointed, and therefore the execution will then start, wherein the next phase of the program will then be the monitoring of the implementation of the program. Next slide. Honorable members, it's important that I share with you the indicative execution plan, with an understanding that it's a program that is subject to change as we are refining this, and also with detailed discussions between the stakeholders. But suffice to look into it and appreciate the sense of when do we think key milestones will be? The key milestone is aligned with the integrated resource plan. The first unit is planned that it will be commissioned by 2023. We're mindful that this is a work in progress and it's subject to change based on the scale and the pace of the program after we've issued the request for proposals to the market and we get a market response as to the approach on the affordability and the viability of the program. Next slide. The similar approach will then be happening with a multi-purpose reactor. And these are two indicative execution plans for the stage A for the program. And also suffice to indicate that the plan is that we commission the multi-purpose reactor by 2020. Next slide. Honorable members, this is an important part, but I won't bore you with the details, but to give you a progress that we've achieved in terms of the transactional advisors that were looking into the work that was we've already discussed. So I'm not going to repeat that. We've updated, these are completed deliverables in terms of the updating of the procurement strategy, the economic development plan, the preparation of the exemption applications to comply with the triple P FMA, the triple BEE, the risk assessment for the tender process. That process is in progress. It's nearing completion. And right to the very key aspect of the program is that all of this work needs to happen and it needs to be thoroughly coordinated at a government level through the Department of Energy, ensuring that the different procurers, that is NERSA, the ESCOM and the NRABI, are implementing the program in line with the policy prescripts that the government has set up. And therefore, the government will establish the Nuclear Program Management Office that will coordinate all of this effort within one roof, where you have a much more closer communication, a much more closer technical engagement to come up with the best decisions for the program. Next slide. Honorable members, this is a very important slide that we would like to take the committee through and appreciate the developments that have taken place. In November 2012, Cabinet endorsed that ESCOM will be the owner-operator of the nuclear power plants, and we've indicated that it's a policy position of government that the ownership of the power plants must rest with the South African nuclear utility, which is ESCOM. However, we must then recognize that ESCOM, as the utility, has got a big program, and in light of the funding challenges and constraints that ESCOM was experiencing in 2014, then ESCOM board took a prudent decision that it will not be prudent for them to provide further funding to other programs. It needed to be focusing on a particular mega program that is already being undertaken. And then the funding was then prioritized to focus on Medupi, prioritized to focus on Kusile and Ingula project. And I'm not going to deal in much details with this. We'll request ESCOM to make its contribution. But suffice to say, that focus has yielded successful benefits for the country because some of these programs are already now commissioning the units and they are generating electricity. And ESCOM will talk to that. But the key issue then to highlight for the committee was that following that decision for ESCOM to reprioritize the expenditure and the delivery, it was then a decision had to be taken to continue with the critical work that needed to be done in terms of the development of the nuclear new build program. And in that respect, in order to mitigate the risk that some of the upfront work that's required, and I must emphasize that there's critical work that's needed to continue for the program, in particular work for siting, the work for the environmental impact assessment, that work needed to continue. And to mitigate that risk and also not to delay the development of the nuclear new build whilst in parallel the other big programs were being executed. Cabinet took a decision to approve that one of the capable nuclear organizations in South Africa is NECSA. NECSA was then endorsed as an implementing agent for the program with a view to make sure that there is continuity in the program whilst ESCOM was busy focusing on solving our power challenges. NECSA would then be an agent for government to continue with the developmental work. However, honorable members, it's important to then highlight to the committee that since 2014, the situation has come, has changed, and honorable members would bear with us that that is now visible in terms of the changes that have taken place from ESCOM. And honorable chairperson, with your permission, I will request that ESCOM could make its contribution from here on in terms of how it has turned its operations around to make sure that it's now a capable owner-operator to execute
its mandate. Mr. Cook.
Honorable chairperson, thank you for the opportunity. We make a couple of submissions. And the first submission we make is that ESCOM has indeed turned the corner. We've turned our operations around and we've improved on our liquidity positions. Honorable Chairperson, we've tucked in our shirts, we've straightened ourselves, and today is better than yesterday and tomorrow will be better than today. We are now in a position to keep the lights on. We've met the highest peak in the winter at over 35 gigawatts, and we're able to do the maintenance that our plant requires to do, and we're no longer burning money with diesel. We've reduced our diesel spend per month from R1 billion to nothing this month. We've improved our energy availability factor from 71% to 79%. The consequences of the improved energy availability factor is that we now have an additional 3,700 megawatts that we have today that we did not have at the middle of load shedding. Just to give you the scale, it's the size of Kuiberg times two that we now have that we did not have when we were load shedding, precisely because we've improved on our operational performance. The second part is that when the new leadership and the new board came at ESCOM, our build program was late and let us go down to the bridge. And the best thing they could do is what the honorable member could do, to re-baseline the schedule, have a psychological compact with the country and deliver on that schedule. I'm pleased to inform honorable members that our current build program is delivering and exceeding the re-baseline schedule. We now have Medupi Unit 6 on load. We have Unit 5 on load, and Unit 5 at Medupi is coming on load, Honorable Chair, 12 months ahead of the re-baseline schedule. Unit 1 at Kusile will come on, will be synchronized for the first time on load this year, and it will also deliver 12 months ahead of schedule. We have Ingula, 1,000 megawatts on load. By the end of this year, 1,000 megawatts will become 1,300 megawatts. That will be fully on load. And Ingula is also delivered ahead of the baseline schedules. What this does to the energy outlook, it says that the energy outlook up until 2022 is sufficient. That load shedding is a thing of the past. and in fact it's no longer part of our vocabulary. We don't think about it, it's past. Comrade Chairperson, we are worried about 2021-2022. The next capacity crunch is 2021-2022, and we were pleased yesterday when the minister announced the coal IPP bids, because that puts Eskom as a systems operator at rest, that we indeed have proper planning that is happening, that we're making decisions at the right time, and the capacity constraint of 2022 is being addressed proactively. The next capacity crunch comes in 2026-2028, and we make the position that says that yes, indeed, renewables are becoming cheaper, and we must deploy them as much as we can. But to meet the peak and to guarantee security of supply, your non-renewable portion must be able to meet the peak at the worst day. And we predict the peak at the worst day in 2022-2026 to around 40 gigawatts. And for that, we need to make a decision on nuclear so that it is available before 2026-2028, so that we are able to prevent another crunch of capacity constraint. We were burning money with diesel, and the reason why we're burning money with diesel is because our operational performance was not good and our bill program was delayed, and we've resolved that, and we see that in our profit. Our profit has increased from 200 million to 4.6 million and we ended up with cash in the bank of 39 billion rands. We have turned the corner. I must start our second assertion that we have a very world-class nuclear operation facility at Kruger Power Station. And I put it to the members that this month is a very important month for us at Eskom in the nuclear facility in South Africa at large, because Kruger Unit 1 is on a refueling outage. And it has had an uninterrupted run from the last refueling outage till today. That's 18 months of uninterrupted run at Kruger. It's the best record in the 40-year life of Kruger. And that's a credit to the leadership at Eskom, the competency of the staff at Eskom, and the engineering that goes into Kruger. We have ran what we call a Nuclear One procurement program in 2007 that we put on hold, and rightfully so, but we have not demobilized our procurement teams. And the reason we have not done that is because we operate the system, and the fundamentals tells us that we will indeed need nuclear going forward, and therefore it makes sense for us not to demobilize the team that procured Nuclear One. It remains intact. And it ran the procurement process and has the experience, and we kept the experience in-house. We have identified the sites. We've got two sites, one in the Western Cape, one in the Eastern Cape. We have applied for environmental, we have submitted the environmental impact report to the Department of Environment Affairs, and we expect feedback in the first quarter of 2017. We have also applied to the National Nuclear Regulator, the installation license. And it's a very important milestone for us. What's more important for us, and coming out of the delays in Medupi, because we are a learning organization at Eskom, we have now completed the subsurface investigations and the geotechnical investigations for both sites. Honorable Chair, one of the biggest problems and the delays that was caused at Medupi is because we did not plan properly. And when we started digging the ground, the conditions underground were different from what we've predicted during the design phase. We've learned from that. We now have the geotech investigation done for the two sites, and we're in a much better position to proceed with the nuclear build. We have done the technology assessment, and we have taken lessons from the Three Mile Island in 1979 and the Fukushima. We're beyond that. Our financial positions have improved. Honorable Chair, we're running a 70 billion funding program. Half of it is goes towards funding our existing build program, and half of it goes towards funding Medupi, Kusile and Ingula. And Medupi, Kusile and Ingula are getting to the end of their program. And we anticipate to sustain that building, that funding plan, so that we're able to fund the new build program for nuclear. If you proceed with the assumptions in our business plan, if you proceed with the funding in our business plan that says that based on the electricity growth rate of 0.8%, and we deliver Medupi, Kusile and Ingula at the time frames that we are pursuing, we will end up at the end of the 10-year window with 150 billion rands in cash position. And that puts us in a better position to engage the market so that we are able to leverage that so that we fund the nuclear build program. We have improved our borrowing program from 237 to 327 billion. But again, we have no uncertainty in our current build program, and we are convinced that going forward, it opens up the space to pick up an additional build program. The biggest nuclear program has a significant content of foreign equipment, and we will leverage the credit agency agreements. We have 30 billion rands of government guarantees that is unused, and we expect that as we build up our cash flow position, the 30 billion rands will increase. And that again creates a space for us, after the RFP come back and after engaging the OEM, to be able to design a funding plan for the new build program. We think that it's significant for us to consider equity positions from the OEMs, but that we will finalize once the request for proposals come back, and then we will present the funding plan for the build program. Honorable Chairperson, I thank you.
Mr. Mam.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, having had the presentation by ESCOM, it is clear that the ESCOM situation has changed. Based on that situation, is that in September 2015, the ESCOM board has indicated its commitment to participate in the nuclear new build program and resume its role as the majority owner operator for the nuclear power plant. In this respect, the Portfolio Committee on Energy should then note the following will be recommended to Cabinet. One, for Cabinet to endorse ESCOM as the procurer for the nuclear power plants for the nuclear new build. Two, for Cabinet to designate the South African Nuclear Energy Corporation, NECSA, as the procurer for the nuclear fuel facilities and the multi-purpose research reactor for the nuclear new build program. 3, and on the Department of Energy to continue as the program coordinator for the nuclear new build.